pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. For Diplomat Mold, their computer science careers were cut short, and the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in Central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show, now in our fourth year. That's right. It was this time Doug and Matt got together. Matt Schick, former NTV sports anchor, got this show started 4 years ago, and now we're, you know, heading in. Let's see. So this will be like our fourth anniversary, heading into our fifth year. I don't know. And you've been on it way too long? 3 years?
You want a hug? You want
a
sweet kiss?
Absolutely. No. And this is as good as we felt probably about the Nebraska football team in that time. Well, can't say that because we were Big 12 North champs. But anyway, Doug and Daddy Show, a lot going on today, including Bo Pelini's press conference. We will hear from the coach at noon today. We have a full show for you. Paul Merkowitz, Hastings College, Daryl Morris, UNK. We are expected to be joined by former Husker All-American Brendan Stye, who played 8 years in the National Football League. He was at the game Saturday. He was in the locker room Saturday before the game to hear some of what Bo Pelini had to say. And we are expected, we hope, to be joined by Brendan Stye on the program today. Full week, lots of things to talk about. One of the things that just came out is that New Mexico State-Nebraska's kickoff time has been set for 6 p.m., you know, just the feeling was it was going to be 11:30, but what do you do? 6 p.m., which I like. When you have these pay-per-views, it's pretty much either going to be 11:30 in the morning or 6. This week's game against San Jose State, 11:30. The New Mexico State game, also available via pay-per-view, 6 o'clock coming your way. And that is what's going on the 13th. And bad news for New Mexico State, Daddy, this will be their season opener. They didn't play this week. They were to play Nicholls State on Thursday, but now Hurricane Gustav has forced the postponement of that game. And so now they're still going to keep practicing, and their first game will be in Lincoln against the Huskers, who will have two games under their belt. That's not a good situation for New Mexico State.
No, certainly not exactly the place you want to get. You planned all along to get a game under your belt and be ready to maybe come in, build up a little bit of momentum, and come into Lincoln. Now you're starting from scratch. The first game jitters. Everything, you know, you worry about the turnover situation. You worry about the penalty situation. It's all game one for them. Well, Nebraska will have two games under their belts. And, well, we'll have to see. We are expected to be joined actually next week by Hal Mummy, the coach in New Mexico State, to get his thoughts on that. I guess it'll be interesting to see where the coach and their mental approach goes.
And Dick Tomey, the head football coach at San Jose State, will join us Thursday here on this program, coming off a close win over UC Davis, who's been a power in their division. It's a win nonetheless. They have definitely settled on a quarterback now after playing three quarterbacks, and they planned to play three quarterbacks in this game. But quite a story with the young man that came out, led them back to the 13-10 victory. But, boy, it looks like Nebraska is going to rout their next two opponents. Now, you have to be careful of that a little bit, obviously, of instilling that in the players' heads. But, I mean, everything points to rout. And then Virginia Tech with a huge disappointment. Nebraska fan, if you were out there rooting for East Carolina last week, you were making a mistake. Because now Virginia Tech will fall out of the top 25 and will not be a key or signature game for Nebraska. And I got to looking, and we will talk about the Husker game. We're in a unique situation with Labor Day, having that day off, and we're coming in on a Tuesday. Usually most of this Husker talk will be on Monday, and every Tuesday we will bring you Bo Pelini's press conference. Every Monday, Paul Merkowitz, Daryl Morris will be joining us from Hastings College and also from UNK. But, Tony, you look at this Virginia Tech, and I looked at the home schedule for Nebraska the next 5 years. It's part of the athletic department trying to make sure that there is one marquee home game every year for Nebraska. Go look at Nebraska's home schedule from now until 2000. I believe it's 11 or 12 when UCLA rolls in. This Virginia Tech game was supposed to be marquee. Not really going to be. Washington is the next home and home. They're not good right now. Nebraska doesn't have one. The athletic director, Tom Osborne, and Jeff Jamrog have to try and find out what they did against the folks from the previous administration, Steve Peterson, and, of course, what was that other guy? Oh, yeah, Steve Peterson and Bill Callahan. They've got to buy out an Arkansas State, a South Dakota State. You have got to get these teams. I don't care what Nebraska's record is. You have got to get rid of one of these teams and bring in a name opponent. That's the only way that you can't know when you scheduled USC 10 years before you played them that they were going to have the resurgence and be number one in the country when we played them 2 years in a row. I mean, I understand you can't know that, but you have to think that Washington is not going to be a top 15 or top 10 team when we play them starting in 2 years. Virginia Tech, you have to hope, rebounds, but it doesn't look good after the East Carolina debacle. And, I mean, it was a debacle. They can't score. That game shouldn't have even been close. They can't score. East Carolina blocked the punt and scored, but all the points for Virginia Tech, their offense was terrible. That was a terrible football game.
You're exactly right, Doug. And I think it goes back to Beamer Ball, finally one of the things that always helps them, killed them this time with the block punt. How many block punts and how many block field goals and whatnot has taken over? Several. I mean, I'm talking dozens over the last 10 years for Virginia Tech. All of a sudden, the shoe is on the other foot.
And as you look at that, too, it's kind of funny because Virginia Tech is priding themselves on how they do things. Well, then wouldn't you think your special teams coach would tell your punter with a minute 40 left in the game, all you have to do is get the ball out of here. I don't need a 50-yard punt. You just have to get the ball out of our one, two, stagger. I mean, it's not like he rushed the punt. And I'm not sure that would have mattered, but I'm not sure that he rushed the punt. So Virginia Tech gets beat, and that's the way it is. And we will have our impression on Nebraska football coming up in the second half of the program as well here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll talk about what we thought as we were at the game on Saturday.
I think there's a lot of people that have thoughts out there. A lot of people, you know, wonder about the defense, the question marks that were. I think it's interesting when you break things down and people that rip on the defense. Now, let's go back to a year ago where no one was around and people were wide open. The gaping holes. That wasn't there on Saturday, people. I don't care. That wasn't there.
We're going to discuss Nebraska football in the second half of the program. Because you want to get in a fight right here.
I don't want to get in a fight right here.
Here's what I will start with. I left that football game. I left that football game with the thought that I have no change in my impressions with what's going on with Nebraska football from preseason. In fact, from the day they hired Bo Pelini, I said 7-5. I'm sticking to 7-5 after Saturday. Now with Virginia Tech stinking, we could go 8-4. I did not plan on that, but I think Frank Beamer will have things turned around by the time we see them in about a month here. But still, the offense was okay. I mean, it's only one game, but Husker fan already just bouncing off the wall Saturday night like they do no matter what. You have to put it in perspective. Joe Gans, I would have to say excellent. Probably the best part of the game. Cody Glenn, I would say Joe Gans was the best part. Cody Glenn was second, and Cody Glenn had a great game. But remember, the defense as a whole, you know, about what you expected. They were not great. They will get better, you hope. I mean, Western Michigan threw for over 300 yards and had some big plays. They had three 80-yard drives in that football game that resulted in touchdowns, Tony.
They did have some big plays. But once again, I say, there were people close to them. There were people on the heels. There were people right there with them.
Well, the Huskers, yeah, I mean, they weren't running free for touchdowns all night long, that's definitely. And they have to run the ball better. We all know that. 444-yard field goals, which has to be some NCAA record. You know, you got to finish drives a little bit more than what they were doing. As Bo Pelini said after the game, hey, fellas, it's just one game. Obviously, we're not where we want to be. We're going to keep working on it, but it is a win.
Tis a win, and right now we're pleased to be joined by a former All-American and an 8-year career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Brendan Stye joins us to get his take on what happened on Saturday. Brendan, thanks so much for letting us catch up with you this morning.
Hey, you bet. How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing good. I guess the first question, you were around the team quite a bit there on Saturday. What was the emotion like?
Well, as you can imagine, you know, first game jitters and all that. It was kind of quiet, you know, coming to the locker room. Aaron Graham and I had an opportunity to follow Milt Tenneper and turn him bright in the locker room. And, you know, most locker rooms that I've been around, you know, it's kind of like the quiet before the storm. You've got your leaders that are kind of chirping a little bit. And then it comes down to whoever the leader is, as far as the coaching staff is concerned, whether it's the leader of the coaching staff or it's somebody who's appointed. And of course, Bo Pelini is the guy. And, I had a chance to witness something that, made me want to, you know, get the pads on and go out there and play. It was awesome. For about 2.5 minutes, he just got those guys fired up, and away they went, you know.
Brendan, obviously much has been made over the last regime to this regime. The welcoming people like you back into the program and the warmth and that you're showing down there, just talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, you know, the environment's completely different down there. Callahan had – he was running kind of a professional football – atmosphere, you know, closed off practices. He wouldn't, what surprised me, you know, some of the bigger games that they were a part of, he wasn't open to having guys on the sideline and, you know, guys like, you know, Roger Craig and these guys of these nature, you know, that obviously come with a lot of tradition. And basically if a guy looks at them, they want to emulate exactly what they're doing. And so they turned that around. The environment down there now is, hey, come one, come all. We want to get more guys in here just to kind of spread that feeling of, you know, this is a family. Let's keep that tradition going.
Brendan Stye joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Of course, part of that former famous Husker pipeline that helped the national championship start rolling in to the university. Spent 5 years with Pittsburgh. Also had some stints at Jacksonville, Detroit, and Washington. And he was at the ball game on Saturday. It seemed to me, Brendan, that this team, once again, has to learn how to win. They only won one of their last 7 games last year, which for former Husker players has to just be a nightmare. Could you get a sense that the confidence is still not totally there, I mean, before the game?
No, I don't think so. I think those coaches have done a good job in basically telling those kids, hey, look, we're starting fresh. Whatever's in the past is the past. It's kind of like this Western Michigan game. Hey, that's over with. We're building on it. Let's move forward. And I'm sure they, you know, they went back and looked on all the positive things that they did over the years with Callahan and those guys that were playing. And they said, hey, look, that's the past. Let's build on the positives and let's move forward. And I think the confidence is there. Everybody came out to play on Saturday. I was really impressed with the energy, not only the players, but the coaches. Overall, I think, they could just carry on this, you know, obviously grow from this and, you know, each week it's going to be its own little entity, and we'll find out how it unfolds. Now, not to say that I don't think that there's things to work on. I think, obviously, there's tons of things to work on, just like any football team. But you got to build on the positives and just move on.
Brendan, I guess being on the field on Saturday when the defense took the field for the first time. Now, you guys got an experience at a different time in Husker football when the success was really unmatched in college football. And I think that that was special, and the games were loud constantly. But for one moment, when that defense took the field, I thought it was absolutely deafening. And I thought the noise level maybe went back to when you guys were actually on the field. Did you feel that too?
Absolutely. You know, playing in front of 86,000 or whatever the number is, I mean, it's just insane when somebody makes a big play like Cody Glenn did right out of the blocks. That place erupted, and it gave me the chills. Everybody I was with on the sideline, the guys that I played with, everybody's looking at each other going, man, this sounds familiar. It was a ton of fun just to see not only the crowd responding to a great play, but those players out there, you know, they could really feed off that, and that was great.
Brendan Stye, former Husker, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Brendan, talk about what it's like when you have to change coaches. Some of these guys have had to move through different defensive coordinators, different head coaches. You really didn't have to worry much about that until towards the end of your NFL career. But what's it like when you're trying to get adapted to a whole new system, especially defensively for some of these guys?
Yeah, everybody's got to get used to each other. The systems, for me, as time went on in the NFL, everything kind of blends together as an offense. I was asked to actually start twice being put into a system a week before the season started. So, I mean, for me, it was more just getting the chemistry down with the players that I was playing with. But I think what's important at this level, you know, with college football, is those coaches develop a great relationship with those players and obviously, you know, instill the trust that they have not only in the players but in the program. And, you know, every week is going to be a learning experience. Everybody's going to get to know something new about everybody else. And so with that, you know, you got to take on those positives like I was talking about before and just, you know, hey, you know what? I'm not going to say they're going to win a national championship, but I guarantee they're going to put up some good numbers, and they're going to, you know, I think they're going to be very, very competitive with every team we play.
Brendan, a lot of people are interested. What are you up to now, and what are you getting a chance to relax a little bit?
Well, I've been relaxing now for about 5 years, but no, no, just kidding. Actually, I work with a good friend of mine, Aaron Graham, and he's got a brokerage called Premier Outdoor Properties, and what we do is we partner up with Cabela's Trophy Properties, and we buy and sell real estate for people that is all encompassing with recreation. It can be, you know, homes that have lakes on it, or we could just be straight up hunting ground. But it's been a great experience for me, and I look forward to many more years working with Aaron. He's a great guy to work with, and we're just real proud of not only you know, the state we live in, but also being out there. You know, being with those guys on Saturday was great.
And Brendan, before we let you get out of here, you're following the college game, you're following the pro game. What are your thoughts with the NFL getting started Thursday? You got a hunch of who's going to bring it all home at the end?
Well, you can never count out those New England Patriots, I tell you. Those guys are something else. It'll be interesting to see how the Jets do. You know, with Brett Favre back there, and, you know, obviously the addition of Alan Faneca, and they got that big left tackle playing next to him over there. I can't remember his name. Second-year guy. But anyhow, their offensive line looks pretty good. I think the Jets are going to compete. You know, across the board, the NFL, it's a tricky deal. Each week, it's such a fine line. And, you know, one play here or there, it could cost you the game. So you never really can tell. But I think you're going to have a mix of some teams that come out of the woodwork. But, you know, those guys that were there last year at the end of the season, I think it's going to be the same thing.
Well, you're talking to two Cowboy fans. You feel any love for Dallas this year?
Never. Can't stand the Cowboys, man.
Damn Steeler. Should have known that was coming. Hey, Brendan, we sure appreciate the time, and hopefully we can catch up with you again sometime here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Enjoy the Husker football games.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Have a great one.
Brendan Stein, former Husker, and, of course, played with the Steelers for 5 years, then went on to Jacksonville, Detroit, Washington. Actually signed with the Patriots the last year, but was only in camp a couple of weeks and decided to retire at that point. And that's kind of when the Patriots started going on their run. He kind of came in when Russ Hochstein came in. And that, you know, actually him moving on may have helped the career of Russ Hochstein staying with the New England Patriots. And we sure appreciate Brendan Stein giving us some time. We're going to move on here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk Tri-City College football. UNK head coach Daryl Morris will join us in just a moment. A reminder that just released here in the last half hour or so, the Nebraska-New Mexico State game has been set for a 6 o'clock kickoff. So stay with us for more information on that. And Bo Pelini, we're bringing you his press conference at 12 noon here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So all that, and Daryl Morris joins us after this.
All right, this has gone far enough.
This doesn't make any sense.
Well, dude, this is really cool stuff.
More coolness in a moment with Doug and Daddy at Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Generally, when you rib someone, it sounds like you're kidding around. But there's no kidding around with the ribbing you'll take at Skeeter Barnes tonight. Because Tuesday, ribs are king at Skeeter Barnes, and everyone knows it's good to be king. All-you-can-eat ribs, smoked as only Skeeters can. Served with a variety of sauces up to the sassiest you can take. Only $18.99, all-you-can-eat tonight.
This is Eric Hellriegel, Skeeter Barnes General Manager. We're looking forward to your appetite for ribs challenging us tonight at Skeeter Barnes.
Skeeter Barnes, just south of the I-80 Interchange, Kearney.
Ever seen a dented tortoise? The same way the thick tortoise shell protects its occupant, the Armacoatings Spray-On Bed Liner from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. Armacoatings is the one that goes on hot, stays on strong, no rust, corrosion, dents, or scratches ever. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck, and it says so in writing. That means your truck holds its value longer. Are you surprised the Dent Popper now applies Armacoatings? Don't be. The Dent Popper has been on the leading edge of vehicle preservation for years. See the Dent Popper, north of Railroad on First, on the bridge, downtown Kearney, for a free estimate.
There is a certified chiropractic sports physician in the house. Good news if you're an extreme sports athlete. Dr. Carey of Carey Chiropractic is there for you. With additional training in sport and sport-like injuries, Dr. Carey can help heal those ailments brought on by extreme sports and hard work. With the added board-certified sports physician designation, Dr. Carey will treat and prescribe proper training programs and schedules to further reduce the risk of unwanted injuries. To lose the pain, get back in the game and call Dr. Carey now. 398-2255 and let the healing begin.
When it comes to exciting high school football action, we've got you covered this Friday night on ESPN 1460. Kearney Catholic opens their season at Sandy Creek. And on ESPN 1550, Adams Central will host defending state champion Crete. On 1230 AM KHAS, Hastings St. Cecilia begins their run at Minden. On Power 99 FM, Ravenna will be at Elm Creek. And on the Breeze 94.5 FM, it's Blue Hill at Cambridge. Exciting high school football action live this Friday night.
Hi, this is Bob Davis with the Kansas City Royals Radio Network. You're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation at 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see cloudy skies and some scattered showers possible across the area early on yet today, followed by some breaks of sun possible towards this afternoon. High temperatures will stay in the upper 60s to low 70s with northwest winds of 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight we'll see a low near 46. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 61.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Detroit Lions have signed former Cincinnati running back Rudy Johnson to a one-year deal and released running back Tatum Bell. Oh, you know, for all those people that picked Rudy Johnson in their fantasy drafts over the weekend, I guess that's a good deal. For those that picked Kevin Smith, not so good a deal, maybe.
Tatum Bell released. It's weird how you hear these names of people that have really done good things on Sundays, and all of a sudden, well, we don't need you here. Gone.
I took, with my final pick in my draft on Sunday, I took Jeff Carnahan.
Not a bad selection.
Kicker for the UNK Lopers, and he was one of the bright spots for the Lopers in their season opening contest against Wayne State on Saturday. Wayne State able to get a win against Kearney for the first time since 96, and joining us to talk about the game and the upcoming challenge with UNO, the head football coach for the Lopers, Daryl Morris. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, guys.
Well, obviously not the way you wanted to start things on Saturday, and I guess some of the same old demons kind of cropped up again.
Well, you know, we had hoped to be able to get a win as we do every Saturday, and we weren't fortunate enough to be able to do that. Wayne, as I've been saying for quite some time, is a much improved football program, and got 10 returners on defense, and I think between offense and defense, have about 13, 14 seniors. So, you know, they should be good at this particular stage of their program's development. And you know, we got a bunch of guys wearing Pampers in the backfield, so, you know, we're going to have some growing pains, I think.
Coach, I guess you go back to missed opportunities, and any time you guys are up 6-0 and probably should have been up 14-0.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, you got to be able to get the ball in the end zone and not rely on your place kicker to kick field goals for you every time. So, you know, again, young quarterback, wideouts that have no experience really to speak of, and trying to break in a new tailback and even a freshman tailback. It was a difficult deal against an experienced defense. And again, Wayne had a much improved defense, and those kids have been in their program a while, and they played well.
Coach, is it an experience thing this year for getting some red zone touchdowns and getting that rushing game going, or are there some other things you're addressing this week?
No, everything that we saw on film is correctable. I mean, you know, you ask a guy, why'd you run an out route when you're not supposed to? And he says, I don't know. And so it's just one of those deals where you just got to continue to work at it and give them more reps, and they'll get better. And everything that we did poorly or that didn't do well on Saturday, we can do better. And we're looking to take that big leap and improvement from game one to game two. And it'll be a big week for us because we play probably the best football team on our schedule and UNO.
Coach, I guess you look and see the 12 first downs, not something you got to be happy about. But the lack of rushing production, I guess the preseason, the big strength of this football team was the offensive line. And then with Lease and Rustin Dring, very capable backs, you just thought the production would be there more running the football.
Well, you know, as we watched the film, the offensive line, truthfully, did not play that poorly. And, you know, the one brand new kid that started his first ball game for us, Stephen Gooden, was actually the offensive player of the week. So, you know, he performed actually better than I thought he might start in his first ball game against a much older opponent that he lined up against. So why we didn't quite get him popped, or why we didn't quite get some things going in the running game, to be honest with you, is still a little bit of a mystery to me. I thought we backed him up on occasion. We chopped him, cut him off their feet pretty well, and we had some guys blocked that we needed to get blocked, and it just didn't seem to happen for us. I think they tackled very, very well. I think there's a lot of times when they, you know, it was, if their guy don't make the tackle, then we do have a big gain on them. So, again, you got to tip your hat to the Wayne State defense.
Darryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You had a couple kids play some pretty good defense for you this weekend. Dusty Leffelholz just from down the road, and Charlie Rudine, Amherst, Overton boys led the way in numbers. But Wayne State also had a couple of bounces go their way that maybe made your defensive numbers look worse than what they should have been.
Well, I mean, you know, the first touchdown they scored right before half when we were up 6-0, I mean, that's one of those fluke things. Chuck Fall comes up and just knocks the dog out of the guy, and he coughs the ball up, and it takes one bounce, and their guy picks it up on the dead run. I mean, never even broke stride, and before heck we even figured out where the ball was, he was in the end zone with it. So that's 50 yards of rushing yardage right there that really, you know, I mean, there's really not a whole lot you can do about that. I can't tell Chuck Fall not to hit him so hard next time. So, you know, it's just one of those things, we might not have handled that real well at the time, I think, you know, but we were in the ball game, obviously, and we had our shots in the second half, and we fumbled the ball, quarterback tailback exchange. Quarterback got mixed up on a call from the sideline and ran a sprint option the wrong way, and then fumbled that ball, and then turned around through an interception. So turnovers, you know, and like you say, the early opportunities in the first half. I mean, we could have actually won that ball game with a relatively young football team. I mean, we don't have a senior on offense. So, you know, tell the two coins on our team and their team.
Well, Coach, I guess you've probably had an opportunity to look and see what UNO is bringing to the table this year. Just your early assessment of that football team.
We need divine intervention. I don't know why you guys are laughing. I'm totally serious.
Yeah, you're going to play the undercard dog. You're going to play the underdog role, aren't you, the whole week?
Hey, you guys come down here and look at the film, and you'll play it right with me, and it will all be rich playing poker with those cards. I'm telling you. UNO is UNO, and they're going to be a tremendous challenge for us. We have played a game; they have not. I hope they have some of those first game jitters and miscues and things like that, you know, and they get a little too hyped up and drop the ball on the ground or forget this or that, and hopefully by that time we will be able to take that leap from game one to game two and see if we can't actually exploit some of the mistakes they might make, because it is their first ball game of the year.
They're ranked seventh in the preseason poll. Obviously, you've got to win against them. There's probably a couple more games. I know you probably figure you should have won, just things didn't happen the right way for you. They were very close. Compare what UNO has this year to maybe what they've had the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, again, they've got big offensive linemen. Their quarterback is as good as, I mean, Silas Flewellen for Wayne is an excellent football player, but this kid's going to be better. He's big. I think he weighs about 240 pounds. He can run the option. He can throw the ball. He's got receivers to throw it to, and so he's a dual threat in a lot of different ways, and you'll bounce right off of him, too, if you don't wrap him up real well. So, you know, their defensive line is physical. Their linebackers are all back, and they run extremely well. And, you know, so it's just going to be a heck of a challenge. We're going to have to play very good football. We're going to have to play air-free football. We can't turn it over 3-4 times. We can't throw interceptions down inside our own 20. And, you know, we're going to have to get her in the end zone and not depend on Jeff Carnahan's leg to keep us in the ballgame.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Best of luck next week, and I look forward to talking to you on Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Darryl. Darryl Morris, head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney. He has never, as a head coach at UNK, started 0-2. The last time the Lopers started 0-2, 1998, lost to Missouri Western and then UNO. And Justin Coleman was the redshirt quarterback that year. Lopers started 0-3, finished 5-5 back in 1998. They're hoping not to start that way. You know, this is one of those, I know they've got to have some better offensive production. And their young quarterback, Bobby Adamson, has to play better and all that, and that may be tough to do. But these are those kind of games that are sneaky when you talk about in-state rivals. Some positives are pointing towards UNK, but who knows?
Well, Doug, I think we focus a lot on the offensive side of the ball with Coach Morris. I know Coach Crocker in the defense is very disappointed for the simple fact is they thought they played awfully well the first half. The second half, Wayne State mixes up one blocking scheme on their option game, and really they don't find out until it's the game's over, really. When they looked at the film, the communication was very disappointing. And Coach Crocker says, that's part of my fault. And the kid said, hey, that's on us, too. But that's something that he said, all they had to do was say that, and we could have corrected that, and it would have been a much different second half, they feel, on the defensive side of the ball. So disappointing game for the Lopers, especially they get Wayne at home. Got to take care of business. Coach Morris knows that at home.
Well, somebody's got to be paying attention upstairs, too, though, right, Tommy?
Absolutely.
Well, we'll find out what happens, and that game is televised as well, 6 o'clock this Saturday night on Nebraska Educational Television. Well, speaking of college football, it's time for week one of Pigskin Pick'em, and Derek, how did things go?
Looks pretty good for Daddy, anyway. He went 7-3. Doug, you went 6-4, and the caller and I both coming in at 5-5.
Daddy's three misses, Clemson, Louisville, and Tennessee. I had Michigan and Army as winners, so, you know, stupid me, but I also had Kentucky right in my misses. And the caller that competed against us, Terry from Kearney, went 5-5. He had Michigan State beating California. That was a close ball game. He also had Clemson, Louisville, Tennessee, and then his big upset special, I think, was Syracuse. And that started well. They were up 3-0. And then it didn't work out so well. And so congratulations, Daddy, the winner of week one. But Terry still wins a $25 gift card to Johnny Casino's, home of the Wednesday 10-ounce ribeye steak special for $11.99. Johnny Casino's just west of the Conestoga Mall in Grand Island. Don't forget Bo Pelini's press conference coming your way at 12 noon. We will take a break and be back with more and hopefully a chance to chat with Paul Merkowitz of Hastings College after this.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Doug and Daddy will get right back to you.
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, now it's easy to find the right home pro for your project. Log on to fast.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handymen, roofers, and many other home contractors. Just go to fast.servicemagic.com. Service Magic has a network of licensed and insured contractors in hundreds of home improvement categories. If you need a painter, electrician, plumber, or any other home service, visit fast.servicemagic.com. It's easy and it's free, and it's the source to find neighbor-recommended contractors in your area. Now you can hire a pre-screened home pro with confidence. Go to fast.servicemagic.com. It's quick, it's free, and there's no obligation. Go to fast.servicemagic.com. That's fast.servicemagic.com.
Oh, my. Sir, where are your pants?
Well, I heard this ad that said it was T-shirt night at the Roman. The ad said if I wear my exclusive Roman T-shirt on Thursday night, I'll get a discount on my favorite drink. I think I'd like a Long Island iced tea, please.
Yes, it is. That is, sir, I'm sorry, but it's also, pants night at the Roman. Yes, it's pants and the exclusive Roman T-shirt night every Thursday night at the Roman.
Oh.
The Roman on the bricks in downtown Kearney. Pants preferred.
Face it, guys, just going to the gym won't give you the body you want. You need a nutritional plan. GNC of Kearney and Hastings has your plan, featuring the new Weibolic Extreme 60 Protein, sports vitamins and Vitapacks, plus amplified creatine, glutamine, and every other essential product for your body enhancement needs. And ladies, don't think we've forgotten you. We have a wide array of beauty and healthcare products as well. And when you make your purchase with a GNC Gold Card, you save 20%. GNC, Hastings and Kearney. Face it, guys, without GNC's help, you'll just be
the little man in the gym.
Stop into ABC Drug now and get that student leaving for home a college pack. It's like a first aid kit for students with Band-Aids, antibiotic cream, pain reliever, antacid, allergy medication, and anything else they wouldn't think of to take care of themselves like you do. Don't forget about the little munchkin left behind at home with a book or their very own box of Band-Aids. You'll always find something unique at ABC Drug and Gift, Kauffman Center, downtown Kearney.
It's just as easy as ABC Drug Store.
Mostly cloudy skies and some scattered showers are possible across the area early on yet today, followed by some breaks of sun possible towards this afternoon. High temperatures will stay in the upper 60s to low 70s with northwest winds of 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight we'll see a low near 46. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 61.
I was a highwayman.
Really?
Along the coach roads I did ride.
Yeah, this is the one
I'm special
play.
Day? Is this a special day?
No.
Sword and pistol
I wanted to go with the other
side.
One I had here, but...
You're okay, man.
Hit a wrong button fine. There.
Oh, no, I wasn't trying to call you out.
Some Willie
there.
No problem.
I got no problem. The Ryder Cup team has been filled out, Daddy. Chad Campbell making a last impression on Captain Paul Eisinger, along with Steve Stricker, Hunter Mahan, and J.B. Holmes.
Best we've got?
Apparently so. I don't know if there's any wild cards there. Those are the four captain's picks. The other three players, Campbell will be playing on his third straight team. The other three players will be making their Ryder Cup debut. Six rookies for the American team that plays at Valhalla, Louisville, Kentucky, September 19th through the 21st. The U.S. has not won the Ryder Cup since 1999 and are a decided underdog in this one.
But if they take that first match and win it 10-9, much like taking an opening kickoff.
No, Daddy, no. You can't be up 10-9 in match play.
9-8?
Yeah, you can
do
that.
Sorry.
You can do 9-8.
That would be much like a return of an opening kickoff.
Well, yeah, it'd be like a statement to start the season. Maurice Mansfield did it, an 85-yard kickoff return to Spark Hastings College to a 26-0 victory over Peru State on Saturday. So the Broncos start 1-0, and we're pleased to be joined by the head coach at Hastings, Paul Merkowitz. Good morning, Coach. Congratulations.
Morning. Thank you.
Got off to a 1-0 start. I'll dive right in here as I look at the stats. I guess you wouldn't see that the outcome of the score would match the stats because, actually, the stats were pretty even.
Well, yes and no. If you look at the stats a little further, theirs are inaccurate. They only rushed for about 100, and I think they got them rushing for about 202 yards, and they ran for about 140. So that actually worked out all right, and the time of possession you probably have on there is probably incorrect as well, and they had some problems with their stat package, but we were able to clean it up on our end.
So they're cheating a little bit.
At least with their stats, yeah.
How much did that put you at ease getting that touchdown? Then you got to put your defense on the field, so really you kind of got the best of both worlds to start the game.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of, you know, things you don't always see that we see a little. You know, we have a lot of defensive starters that are actually on our kickoff return team. And so to get those guys kind of back and acclimated and they actually go from the kickoff return to the kickoff team and on to defense. So we had guys play three pretty important plays right out of the gate for us of our defensive players. But it was a great way to start. I mean, if I don't think you'll find any coach that would be upset with that start to the season.
Coach, I guess if, after reviewing the film, what's the one place you said, man, that was a really solid part of our game?
Our defense across the board. Our defensive line play was dynamite. Our linebackers were all over the place. Our secondary played extremely well. I mean, obviously you pitch a shutout and you're happy with that, but there's a way to do it too, I think. Our defense stifled them from the start to the finish.
Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Let's talk about your backfield play. Dayton had a few thrown to the wrong guy in this football game, but you got a good rushing game. And from what I understand, Dayton, really it wasn't that bad of a day for him.
No, he made one bad throw, one interception that I know both of us would like for him to have back. But another one was a tip ball that he was trying to jam into Mark Schmeckley, our tight end, which we need to do in that particular situation. And then one of the other ones was a third and long where we were just throwing the ball up late in the game to try and make a play. So, you know, he really had good command over all of his throws, and we moved him around quite a bit and did a very nice job running our offense.
Coach, I guess you look ahead towards Doan and Matt Franzen, a former offensive line coach for you, takes over that program to add a little fuel to the fire that's already kind of burning. Pretty good fire already.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, they're, you know, Matt's done a really nice job. You know, this will be his second season there, but really, you know, I think won a lot more games last year than anybody gave him credit prior to. And, you know, for them to beat William Jewell in their opener, who I think is a good, solid NAI program. And so he definitely has them playing hard, and at least we were able to see that much on film. And you know, it's tough when you coach against a very good friend, but I think both of us understood when we got in this business that there's a possibility it could always come to that.
As you look at film, what are the strengths of this Tiger team?
Man, they are athletic. I mean, they are fast. I mean, they've got a punt returner, kick returner that's an All-American, and he would get my vote every year. He's just really good. And they've got some tall wide receivers. They run on defense extremely well. And so, you know, I think they're like a lot of teams. They go offensively as their quarterback goes, and when he's good, they're really good. And when he struggles, they have to find other ways to do things. But, you know, they're very solid across the board. Obviously, all-conference punter, have a very good kicker who can kick in the clutch because he kicks a 47-yarder to win the game as the clock's running down. So they're a very good football team, and obviously, you know, just being up the road, we recruit the same players, and so it's turned back into a pretty good rivalry.
Hastings Bronco football coach Paul Merkowitz joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, I guess, you know, in earlier conversations with you, you said to win football games in this league and this season, you're going to have to score between 24 and 27 points. You were able to do that. Mm-hmm. Against Doan, are you going to have to up that even more?
I think so. If you asked me the question, you know, from Saturday's game, what needs work? It's our offense. It's still, I mean, obviously, I think we had opportunities that you don't see on the stat page. They turned the ball over twice in the red zone, and we got 3 points to show for it.
Well,
we really needed to put the game away. That was to start the third quarter, and you know, those things are things that, you know, we've got to be more consistent offensively, and if you are, then you're going to be able to put points on the board, and I'm still, you know, that's still something that we really have to work very, very hard on.
Well, you'll have to put Matt in the visitor's locker room this time around and put him on the wrong side of the field. Maybe that's enough to confuse him.
I hope so. It worked last year, and I haven't had, you know, with our schedule the way it's been, I haven't been to Crete in a couple of years, and that's fine with me too. So, but, yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's a 1 o'clock afternoon kickoff, and I think it's going to be a pretty good game.
The home opener, Hastings College, welcoming in Doan. You'll be able to hear the game on 1230 AM KHAS with Mike Will and Jimmy Purcell. It's unbelievable. If you can't make it, be sure to tune it in. But there should be a lot of folks on hand for Saturday's game. And, again, Paul Merkowitz joins us. We'll talk to you Monday, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the time. Off to a 1-0 start. Pretty solid football game. Maybe they had a little bit better road to hoe than even Nebraska or UNK, they kind of dominated Peru State.
Oh, I think he's right. Anytime you get that jump start and that kickoff return, it doesn't even have to go the distance, but you change the possession, field possession on the opposing team that's kicking it off. That's a boost right away. You're able to take one all the way back. That's even more exciting. Gets your kids a little bit more revved up as if they needed that, and then get your defense out there and shut them down. Yeah, shutout, unbelievable. Congratulations, Hastings Broncos.
Coming up, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, a chance for you to win a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats in Kearney. But, Daddy, we want to touch a little bit more on Husker football. Bo Pelini's press conference coming your way at the top of the hour, so stay with us for that. But remember, you were out this weekend, and I know that you even did a little yard work this weekend, which is kind of amazing, but it's something you really don't want to be doing when there's football on.
No, especially when you need to put edging in.
How about Matt and the gang at Curbit? They can take care of you. They can make your yard look better than your neighbors, and they'll get you inside while they're doing the work outside. Call Curbit and let them help you plant it, install it. You don't have to spend so much time doing it outdoors, and you have much more time in front of the big screen. And we're talking about what they have is edging. I mean, we're talking about edging. You go out and you're just trying to take care of things. Well, you're trimming, you're mowing, repairing, edging. Well, Curbit continuous edging lays low to the ground, makes it easy to get close with the mower, and then there's no problem. It's durable, has a full 1-year everything warranty when it comes to installation or materials or defects. They've got it all for you. You can find out more on their website, curbit.net, curbit.net, for more information. You can go right on and see it, and then talk to Matt and the gang about an estimate and what they can do for you. Do it before the weather turns cold. I mean, you're getting a little taste of what it's going to be like when it gets a little cooler today. So get it done so that you have one of the best yards around. Curbit.net. We're going to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show and be back with more right after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We turned down the volume on all the radios in the building during this hour so as not to irritate the boss.
Oh, my. Sir, where are your pants?
Well, I heard this ad that said it was T-shirt night at the Roman. The ad said if I wear my exclusive Roman T-shirt on Thursday night, I'll get a discount on my favorite drink. I think I'd like a Long Island iced tea, please.
Yes, it is. That is, sir, I'm sorry, but it's also, pants night at the Roman. Yes, it's pants and the exclusive Roman T-shirt night every Thursday night at the Roman.
Oh.
The Roman on the bricks in downtown Kearney. Pants preferred.
Analogies from UPS. UPS asks, do sports analogies for shipping ever get old?
No!
Okay. UPS Freight is so reliable, it's like a player who always comes through in the clutch. That's because UPS offers an on-time delivery guarantee on LTL shipments so you can keep your promises to your customers. Talk about clutch. I think I was pretty clutch right there.
Sports analogies from UPS.
UPS. What can Brown do for you? On-time guarantee applies to customers whose shipments are rated from the current UPGF 560 base rate tariff only. See rules there for applicable terms, conditions, restrictions, and remedies.
Hey, Kevin Harvick here, two-time NASCAR Nationwide Series champ. And when I'm not on the track, I need car insurance just like everyone else. That's why I just switched to Nationwide Insurance. I saved a lot on my car insurance, and you can too. Just call 877-NW-SERIES. That's 877-697-3743 for a quote today. Nationwide is on your side.
Products underwritten by Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and affiliated companies, home office, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval. Products and discounts not available to all persons in all states.
Kenny Mayne here. It's
I'm Doug Duda with a Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The high school football season begins in full force with all Class C and D teams joining A and B this Friday night. In the Tri-Cities, Kearney High will be at Papillion La Vista South and Kearney Catholic is at Sandy Creek. Hastings will host Schuyler. Adams Central welcomes in Crete. St. Cecilia is at Minden. Grand Island will host Norfolk. Northwest is at Columbus Lakeview. Central Catholic will host Superior. And Heartland Lutheran is at Lawrence Nelson. Other area games on Friday. Aurora is at York. Scotts Bluff is at Holdridge. Wood River is at Donovan Trumbull. It'll be Centura at St. Paul. Gibbon at Broken Bow. Ravenna is at Elm Creek. Blue Hill travels to Cambridge. High Plains is at Sutton. In eight-man, Franklin is at Amherst. Wilcox-Hildreth is at Kennesaw. Shelton travels to Overton. Bertrand will be at Elwood. Loomis is at Litchfield. Clay Center is at Pleasanton. And that's a Sports Minute on ESPN Radio. I'm Doug Duda.
You, too, can help the Hurricane Gustav disaster victims. Just visit ESPNSuperstation.com and click on the American Red Cross link. Thank you.
Mostly cloudy skies and some scattered showers possible across the area early on yet today, followed by some breaks of sun possible towards this afternoon. High temperatures will stay in the upper 60s to low 70s with northwest winds of 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight we'll see a low near 46. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now, 61.
Another one bites the dust.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, Bo Pelini's weekly press conference coming your way at the top of the hour. A reminder that the Nebraska-New Mexico State game has been set for a 6 o'clock kickoff. This week's 11:30, and coming up on Saturday the 13th, 6 o'clock game pay-per-view. Now, of course, Nebraska didn't really start playing night games until the mid to late 80s. And since then, Nebraska's had a very good record. Western Michigan was a night game. The Huskers are 25-3 in night games, and it's time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. If you have not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible for a $25 gift card at 1-888-455-ESPN, Daddy.
Yes, they're eligible, and right now, you want to know.
Yes. Who are the three teams that have won night games at Nebraska? The three teams that have won night games, and folks, I think we're going with a 6 o'clock kickoff or later. There's been a lot of night games that ended when it was dark outside. Nebraska has lost to three teams, and only one of them is a conference team. Three teams at night in Lincoln. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. And Derek will take the first correct caller. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox. Dent Popper, home of the Arma lining, specializing in paintless dent repair for years. See him on the bricks for a free estimate in downtown Kearney. Excuse me, gents. Don't tell me that Arkansas State isn't going to be good next year. Respectfully yours, Mike Sherman, Buddy Wyatt, Randy Jordan, Tim Cassidy. Arkansas State 18, A&M 14.
Oh, that one
was embarrassing. We've had this pegged, Daddy. We said Texas A&M They're falling into the Callahan trap. They're not going to be good this year.
Is Michigan falling into the Callahan trap too?
No. No, Utah's a decent football team. I thought Michigan would win because everybody said they weren't going to win. But you know what? A lot of the people that, you know, your Kirk Herbstreits, your national prognosticators, give Colin Cowherd credit. A lot of these people were picking the right upsets this weekend. Utah, East Carolina.
Pittsburgh went down to
Bowling Green yesterday with Fresno State. And you have to pay attention, I guess, a little bit to that. So they were hitting some of them right on the head.
I think when you break down this last weekend, there's teams on the rise and teams on the free fall. One of those teams on the free fall, I think it points directly at the Clemson Tigers. Much had been made about Clemson this, Clemson that. The number 7 rating in all of the land. They got worked. They got crushed.
Yeah, and I sat here on the show. I said, things you would think, tradition-wise, the way things work in football, that Alabama would win. But we still picked Clemson.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
I could have been the winner and pick them.
I just fed into all the hype. Just fed in the hype. Who knew that, Derek?
Wow, Terry from Hastings, first caller. Bam, bam, bam. USC, Texas, Washington.
Yeah, those are the 3 night games that Nebraska has lost. Congratulations to Terry, winner of a $25 gift card to Troutman's Tuesday Troutman's Quality Meats here in Kearney. Freshest smokehouse. I mean, they're coming right out with the freshest sausage out of the smokehouse. Freshest ground beef in town. USDA steaks. Oh, it's all good. It's tailgate season, folks. Make sure Troutman's is a part of your tailgate season. Coming up, Bo Pelini's press conference here at the top of the hour. How many games will Nebraska win this season? That was our Doug and Daddy poll question last week. 38% said all of them. That was the winner.
Okay, thanks, Joker. Thanks a lot for helping that pull out.
6 or 7, 29%. 22%, 22.5% said 8 or 9. 10 or more, 6%. Less than 6, just 3% of the votes. We appreciate it. This week's poll question, with the NFL starting Thursday, who's your Super Bowl favorite? We've got 4 or 5 selections up there, or you can take the field. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com and vote today, ESPNSuperstation.com. Our NFL selection's coming up Thursday. Among our guests tomorrow, though, Bob Jensen to talk high school football, Sam Dunn, head football coach at Minden. They're supposed to have a real good season, but their toughest game is Friday night against St. Cecilia. And we haven't even touched on what happened in high school football last weekend, Daddy. And it starts with Kearney getting it done against Grand Island in double overtime.
Exciting game to start the season off. I think looked like Grand Island was going to dominate the game, up 14-0. Brandon Cool and his crew came back, and I think just kept digging, and it looked like on their comeback trail that the pass in the end zone was going to be picked off, made it somehow right over the fingertips. I believe Zook Kid, I believe that's his name for Grand Island, and in the end zone, touchdown, that tied it up, and then a missed field goal. And a made field goal. That's how it ended.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, the young man from Grand Island can sympathize with the young man from Tennessee. You know what? I was ill watching UCLA-Tennessee last night. UCLA is not good. They're not a good football team, but they found a way to win with a brand-new coach. I feel bad for Tennessee. I like to see Tennessee win. I like to see Tennessee be one of the, if not the strongest team in the SEC. I think they've got tradition, class act, good coaching staff. That's not going to be said by Tennessee fans after today, though.
Well, you get the halftime and on a game that you should have been up a bunch.
Well, yeah, 4 interceptions and it's 7-0.
How you can remain calm? And I get, you know what? Say what you want about Rick Neuheisel. You can say he's terrible. Okay, this and that, great. You know what? To stick with a kid that had 4 interceptions, to be having the night that this young quarterback's having. And to go into the locker room, Norm Chow, Rick Neuheisel, to come out and then have the half to believe in the kid and say, Rick Neuheisel saying, hey, I started off my career with 4 interceptions. I didn't end up so bad. Well, then he played him a little tune on his guitar and everybody was happy.
Jeez, really? Come on.
But congratulations. Great work staying with a kid and believing in a young man and what you saw throughout practice. And he really came through. Great second half for him. Congratulations, UCLA.
Well, getting back to some of the high school games again from Friday. Adams Central, good start in Class B, beating Seward. Aurora knocks off the defending state champions from Crete, 23-22, double overtime. Couple other things. Lexington, shocking. Scotts Bluff, who was ranked in the top 10, 16-0. At Scotts Bluff, That is as big a win, I think, as of any of them from this weekend. The defending Class A champ, Omaha Central, beaten by Omaha North, 28-7. Again, you know, if you're Class A, the folks in the metro don't think anything of anybody west of Omaha. Well, the same can be said for Kearney, Grand Island, Columbus. They get tired of Omaha. And the reasons why, because your defending state champ comes out and gets beat by a football team that's not supposed to be very good. And then Bellevue West beats Bellevue East 61-42. I bet they can't do that in basketball some nights. Sickening. Absolutely sickening. Holdridge had a lead at Gehring, and one slipped away. Southern Valley, big win, beating a much larger dynasty, you would think, in Cozad. So a good start for Southern Valley, picking up that win there as well. Just a few of the games of note. And now everybody back in action this weekend. All the C&D schools will be playing. And again, full lineup of live football here on ESPN 1460 and 1550, KHAS, The Breeze 94.5, and Power 99 FM. One note before we get into the Bo Pelini press conference here, the Kearney High girls softball games in Lincoln today have been postponed until tomorrow. Rain has come through the state, so Kearney High softball postponed until tomorrow. We will be joining Bo Pelini and his press conference coming up at the top of the hour. Right now, though, a break and a sports update here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All right, look, Doug and Daddy don't work for beer and pretzels. Well, they did for the first 3 months until somebody told them that they should be paid. Well, anyway, they'll be back after these commercial messages. You spent a lot of hours in that old tractor planting, tilling, and fertilizing. Just like you, Stadler Implement spends a lot of time with after-sales service. Look at their line of Kinze, Kraus, and Sukup tillage equipment. When it's time to fertilize, Stadler Implement carries the Demco 3-point or pole-type chemical applicators. Carl and his staff also service well engines with tune-ups and overhauls. Isn't it nice to know you can go to one business and be satisfied with their service? Stadler Implement, East Highway 6, Minden.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. 1460 and 1550 AM. KXPN Kearney and KICS Hastings.
ESPN Superstation. Sports Center. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, the Sports Center update on ESPN. Well, after knocking off second-ranked Stanford and fourth-ranked USC at the Runza AVCA Showcase over the weekend, the Nebraska volleyball team continued their winning ways yesterday by beating Oral Roberts 3-0 at the NU Coliseum. The scores were 25-19, 25-14, 25-17. Jordan Larson led the Huskers with 9 kills. The Nebraska volleyball team has moved up to number 2 in the latest CBS College Coaches Poll. Penn State is ranked number 1, Stanford is 3rd, followed by Texas and California. UCLA is 6th, followed by USC, Florida, Washington, and Wisconsin. Kansas State is number 20. Former Nebraska pitcher Jabba Chamberlain will be back on the New York Yankees active roster today and back to their bullpen. Chamberlain has not pitched since leaving an August 4th start with right rotator cuff tendonitis. Head coach Bo Pelini says Nebraska's effort against Western Michigan was good, but there were some mistakes to be corrected. The team worked out for 90 minutes yesterday, beginning its preparation for Saturday's game against San Jose State. The Huskers beat Western Michigan 47-24 on Saturday to open up the 2008 season. Pelini says he saw some good things Saturday and some mistakes, some communication errors, and missed assignments. But he says the effort was good. He also says the Huskers plan to work on their ground attack, managing just 138 yards and 31 carries on Saturday. Pelini says they're looking for more consistency in the running game. Maurice Mansfield returned the opening kickoff 85 yards for a touchdown, and Hastings College went on to beat Peru State 26-0 in their season opener on Saturday. Nick Grummert rushed for 97 yards and a touchdown. Dayton Edwards completed 13 of 23 passes for 179 yards and a touchdown. Justin Anderson had 3 receptions for 56 yards. And the Nebraska Kearney football team lost to Wayne State 28-12 on Saturday in the Lopers season opener. That's sports.
The time to quit worrying about what to make for the big game is right now. Eliminate the anxiety by calling Godfather's Pizza in Kearney for their mouth-watering game day specials. Choose from a wide variety of toppings and appetizers. No matter how big or how small the game, Godfather's is always waiting to serve you. So say goodbye to the pregame headache and give Godfather's Pizza a call. Located in the 56th Street Plaza, Kearney.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We're going to bring you Bo Pelini's press conference here in just about a minute. But last, there's a couple other things I want to talk about real briefly. CC Sabathia, no-hitter, Major League Baseball. Whether it was or not, you can't change it today. The whole thing is in the moment, and it changes things. So you know what? If it was a no-hitter or a one-hitter, it's over. It's a one-hitter.
Well, the people, they don't care. CC Sabathia is not all right. Up in arms about it.
So let's forget about it.
Yeah, they're not. Okay.
Good. Since it happened in the fifth inning, you know, part of the throwing a no hitter is the pressure that mounts, and then the team trying even harder, you know, to get that hit. And Vijay Singh, I'm not a Vijay fan, but he just went psycho yesterday. That was an unbelievable round, and he's on his way to win the FedEx Cup. That's unbelievable.
Five stroke victory.
Well, what did he shoot, 62? Three?
63, final round.
Unbelievable. Of course, everybody, if it would have been Tiger, all the talk today would have been how everybody on the front page of the leaderboard choked because they all shot over par, except for Ernie, I think, who shot 70. So, I mean, it's not like anybody put a challenge to him, but wow, Vijay. And again, the Ryder Cup finished out today and all that. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Sam Dunn, Bob Jensen, many others. We're efforting Pat Burns from UNO later this week. You know, we might even have a chance to talk to Matt Franzen about Doan football. Dick Tomey, the head football coach from San Jose State, is among those that join us Thursday. Daddy, before we bring you Bo Pelini, though, your first college picks of the year.
I was 1-2. A disappointing 1-2. Ohio at Wyoming, minus the 11. I laid 11
points. Fighting Soliches?
Only won by a point, so we did not cover there. Memphis at Mississippi. Mississippi took care of business. We did not cover there. USC on the road at Virginia. Demolished Virginia. That was our win. 1-2. 1-2 to get things started. So
pro and college picks brought to you every Friday here on the Doug and Daddy Show by, well, Daddy. And coincidentally to the Dent Popper inbox, Dave and Carney says, September 6th, watch Noah Keller and Frank Sulich kick the Buckeyes as Ohio takes on Ohio State.
Interesting. I don't think they'll probably kick the Buckeyes, but good luck to them.
How great would that be?
That would be exciting.
That would be great. That would be on a scale of 1 to 10, that would be a 10. Well, coming after the press conference here, we will be back on the Doug and Daddy Show and give you our impressions of what Coach Bo Pelini had to say. But now it's time to take you to Lincoln for the weekly Bo Pelini press conference.
No questions? We good?
What about this team Saturday? What do you know about them?
You know, it's... They've had camp. Obviously, a very well-coached football team. Dick Tomey, you know, is one of the outstanding coaches in football, and you know, for all he's accomplished, and has put a good staff together. Had a good year last year. You know, obviously won last week, and they have some good skilled people on offense, and some good athletes on defense. You know, they have a couple of transfers. They're a very athletic group. You know, they've done a good job. I think that it's a program, obviously, with Coach Tomey there that's on the rise.
But what did that one win do for your team's confidence?
Not much. I think we're confident. You know, I thought we were a confident football team going in. And I don't think confidence is an issue. I think that they're committed. They're focused on just getting better every day and you know, going week by week and trying to be the best we can possibly be, you know, and I don't think it's a group of guys that are, I think they're like, once again, I think they're they're out to prove something.
Did you learn enough from the first game to figure out kind of where the deficiencies are, where you need to improve the most?
No, I worry about where I thought I was going in, and you know, for going into a first game, I think we're, you know, our job is to keep getting better every week.
How many chances did you guys take defensively in the second half?
What do you mean?
Yes.
Blitzing?
I'm sorry?
Blitzing?
Yeah.
A few, not a lot, you know.
Did you sit back a little more basic because of the score differential?
A little bit. We brought pressure a couple times. We had a couple of mental errors, a couple of busts, a couple of communication problems that really caused our problems. And you know, that's something we need to get fixed.
How concerned are you about the running game?
Not at all. We're going to run the football well.
Any of your guys earn back flash shirts for the performance on Saturday?
Someday.
How would you assess the defensive line performance?
Excellent. Thought they played well.
Well, did they generate the kind of those front four when you didn't do anything pressure-wise? Did they generate the kind of rush you thought they could?
Yeah, we got good heat. I think we had four sacks, and they were all by D linemen. And they were throwing quick rhythm things. They were getting the ball out pretty quick. So considering, I thought we hit that quarterback a lot. He felt the presence of our rush during that football game. I promise you that. I mean, he got hit a number of times.
Was it as much interior guys as ends, or a combination of both?
Combination of both. Those guys work hand in hand. The interior guys, I believe, got all the sacks, except Will Berry got one, right? But that works hand in hand. You're not going to get rush. You're not going to get sacks inside unless your outside guys are getting a push, and vice versa. So it's. I thought it was a good group effort.
You guys moved Berry around and kind of had. Is that something you'll be able to
do? Oh yeah, Barry's a very versatile guy, and so he'll. He's an important cog in our defense, and a playmaker, and a heck of a football player.
Talk about Ty Steinko. He missed some camp with the back. Did you foresee that kind of performance?
When Ty has practiced and he's felt good, he's practiced well and played well, and he and Sue are playing at a pretty high level right now, so we feel really good about those two guys. Excuse me.
Coach, statistically, you often hear about big plays being 20 yards or greater. As a staff, do you guys have a different standard of plays that you guys are trying to eliminate? Is it 20 yards or greater, or 10 yards, or 15?
Well, yeah, ours is less than that. It's 16 for a pass, 12 for a run. And that's something that we focus on and we need to eliminate. Like I said, a lot of them are just... there weren't as many physical errors as there were mental and communication, and that's coaching. That's something that we'll get fixed. Some of them I put squarely on my shoulders.
Did Justin Rogers, he qualified when he's here?
Excuse me?
Justin Rogers from the last recruit.
Yes, he's here.
The other three are still not here.
Right.
You touched on it a little bit at the end of last game, but the kicking performances out of Knowledge, and what did you see field goal wise? And obviously, Henry with field goals. What really stood out to you out of those two?
Well, I mean, Alex has been very, very consistent. Last year, I don't know what his percentage was, but I know it was really good. What was it last year?
It was perfect.
In field goals, too?
Yeah.
I mean, so he just picked up where he left off, and I mean, I knew going in he had an outstanding season he was coming off of. And let me tell you, the first one was exceptional, considering from 44 yards to get thrown off the rhythm and have Jake Wesch make that great hold. That was extraordinary. And then, so he had a great day. And Audie, kicking the ball in the end zone and, giving those touchbacks and pinning them onto the 20-yard line, that sure is a weapon for you.
Now, will
Audie
kick field goals at all, or is it Alex on all field goals?
Well, if it got to be a real long one, you might see Audie. I don't know. But Alex right now, he's kicking well, so there's no sense in messing up with our, messing with our rhythm.
What's the range difference when you make a decision on something?
I've seen Alex kick him over 50. And, up to, 50, low 50s. I don't know. Audie might have a little bit more leg, and he's not quite as accurate from as Alex, and I don't know if there's anybody out there right now who's as accurate as Alex.
But what gives you the confidence that run game is going to be there maybe more than Saturday, or be there to do all the things that you want it to do?
Because I've seen it every day. We have an outstanding offensive line, and I have no questions about it. I know everybody, I don't read it, but I understand that there's been a lot of questions about the running game. There are no concerns on our as far as the running game is concerned with us.
Is there a worry about the attrition rate in that secondary just because you don't have a lot of experienced bodies? Why not Matt Hamlin playing?
A little bit. But right now there's no concerns because we're healthy and, you know, wish we had, you know, Major Colbert's coming back. He'll be, you know, more healthy this week. That helps our depth. And, you know, Ricky got knocked down early in the game, you know, with, he had a, you know, got nicked up early in the game, so we didn't have him. And so that was a concern. And, you know, Major hadn't been practicing at full strength. So we're healthy. We'll be okay.
Are Ricky and Armando on base?
Are
back this week?
Armando's back. He's practicing full tilt, and Ricky is kind of a day-by-day thing.
You guys get versatile in what you will do with those linebacker spots when you start facing these teams that spread you out. You'll see that this week, and more so as things go on. What kind of happens with that core of players at linebacker? You add to the guys that can play those spots?
Meaning?
And you start using some safeties when you are facing maybe five wide receivers?
Oh, yeah. We just change personnel groupings. We go to nickel. Obviously, we played nickel a lot last week. We play dime, and sometimes we'll play dollar and put 7 DBs out there. It just, you know, we do what you need to do on a weekly basis to take care of the offense that you're playing, and that includes both scheme and personnel. We'll change every week.
How do you feel about the way your personnel fits some of those teams who are going to spread you out the way that you'll start to see this week?
We can match up with anybody. There's no issues there.
San Jose State runs out 3 different quarterbacks. What kind of challenge does that present in terms of preparation?
None. The offense doesn't change much. You know, they're all good football players, and they might have their strengths and weaknesses, but you can't sit there and have 3 different game plans for 3 different quarterbacks for not enough hours in the day. I might call something a little bit different according to who's in the game, but they really, I don't see the offense really changing a whole heck of a lot. They're good, you know, they only have so much time to practice too, you know, so they have 3 guys running the same offense basically.
Not wanting them too far ahead, but how much of an advantage is facing all these kind of spread types teams now because they're now dominated the Big 12 this
season? It's good. You know, I mean, everywhere I read, I just keep reading about the spread offense. Like, all of a sudden, this is the first time it's ever happened. You know, it's not a concern. You know, it's just part of the deal. It's spread just an element of the game. And our offense incorporates a lot of elements of the spread. It's just different formationally, maybe some different plays. But I don't know. I really don't know how to respond much to the spread offense anymore. I mean, it's been asked and answered. You know, everybody's different.
But you kind of understand that it has a tendency sometimes.
I understand the spread offense very well.
Yeah, I'm talking about what it does.
I don't worry about what it does to other teams. I worry about what it does to us.
Why do you think it becomes?
I don't know. I don't analyze. I really don't analyze it. I analyze the offenses. I don't analyze the defenses that play it.
Does it kind of irritate you at all to hear about this spread?
It's football. It's, you know, no, it doesn't, it baffles me, I'll put it that way.
Well, I heard you on with Van Smack the other day. Any idea when the jungle's coming to Lincoln?
With Rome?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's
a pretty interview since.
No, I'm looking forward to the jungle coming. I feel like I live in the jungle, so.
Coach, how would you evaluate the blocking and physical performance from your receivers this week?
Outstanding. We blocked outstanding on the perimeter. They were physical. They played tough. They're a reflection of their coach. You know, Coach Gilmore gets after them. They between the tight ends and we blocked very well on the perimeter. I was very happy with that. We had a couple. We did have one or two missed assignments. you know, one on a toss that really hurt us, but where we missed the key block. But it was more of a guy who just was in motion and he just missed us. You know, he saw it the wrong way. But overall, I love the effort and I like the physicalness of our group out there.
Like Keith Williams played about as much as Mike. Is that still open there, or what is it close to at?
Say that again.
Keith Williams and Mike Huff. It's Keith.
Well, Mike got nicked up a little bit, and, but Keith, yeah, Keith's a good football player. But you know, Mike's probably a little bit ahead of him. But we, I really like our depth on our offensive line, so we'll play a number of guys.
I just think Jabari Burke did on both sides and coming back and not having a lot of time in camp. What do you think of this play?
Pretty good considering, you know, he hasn't practiced a lot, you know, and he's only going to get better. You know, he's a natural, he's pretty natural at what he does. And I just know he was excited to get out there and have the opportunity to play, considering all these, you know, the sickness and everything he went through. So,
how much was Cody's success due to his athleticism or his ability to learn and know the defense or both?
It's a combination of both, but I think, you know, he showed some inexperience at times in a couple of mistakes and some of the mistakes he made. But the bottom line is, I think what everybody saw is you saw how passionate and the kind of effort that he plays with, and which makes him special. You know, it's our job to get him coached and, you know, and to bring him along. And then, you know, the more disciplined he becomes and the more aware he becomes and more comfortable he becomes in the system, he'll, you know, the sky's the limit because he's a very, very talented young man.
Does that level of play give him a chance to be a captain?
Excuse me?
Does that level of play give him a chance to become one of the captains on the team?
Oh yeah, we'll be elected captains week to week. So, believe me, he'll represent our team walking out someday.
What kind of potential do you see for Miles Paul in the return games from the case in the punts on Saturday?
I thought he did a good job. He made good decisions. He caught the ball well. I was really happy with our returners. For the most part, we you know, our return game was pretty good. You know, even on the punt safe, you know, he made a. You know, Niles made a nice, you know, he made a couple first downs. So I was real happy with him. That was just really his first time. You know, even until you see him do it live, you're not sure how they're going to respond. He was natural and confident and did a good job.
Coach, you talk about the tight ends in this first game and the receiving game, and you see that being kind of the staple of Coach Watson's offense? Or?
Well, yeah, our tight ends are going to be used in this offense, and we have some good ones. You know, we have a talented group at the tight end position, and they can hurt you in a lot of different ways, you know. And, you know, Drew Young played outstanding. And, you know, McNeil is, to me, he's a threat. And so I feel real good about, I mean, I love our tight ends. You know, we have, you know, those two guys, you know, Hunter will be back this weekend. You know, Ryan Hill's a good football player, and Ben Cotton's coming along. It's a good position for us.
Anything else, Coach?
Oh, did you see any issues with the 40-second clock either way, offensively?
I think there are issues both sides. It happens fast. It's a different deal now. And, you know, the role is, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, it's an adjustment on both sides of the football, you know, because when the offense runs a guy out there late and all of a sudden you're trying to make a call and get a call out there, it happens fast. And, you know, so as the offenses are trying to adjust to it, it makes the defense adjust to it also. And it creates some communication problems and some issues. But, you know, to a certain extent, it makes it harder on you, the teams that don't go no huddle. And, you know, so I don't know. You know, it's just an adjustment. You know, I felt a difference defensively, and I know offensively. You know, I just saw you look up at the clock the amount of times, and you'd see, by the time you looked up, there was 23 seconds on the clock. I can't tell you how many times I looked up and saw that. That's fast. It's quick.
How hard does that make substitution?
It makes it an issue. Not as much subbing, but getting the sub in getting lined up and have enough time to decipher what's going on, you know. And it depends on the rhythm that the offense is going at. We're at the whim at times of how the offense subs and how they, you know, because we match up. So, once again, it's something that as we get more comfortable around each other, it'll happen. It'll be a little bit more, you know, it'll be easier as we're together longer, you know. And, you know, a couple games in, a little bit more experience, it'll be a little bit easier to do that.
When do you think you'll ever see Mike Eckler excited on the sideline?
I don't know.
You ever had a coach that animated?
Me, I've never showed any emotion, so I don't really pay attention. Thanks, guys.
That's Coach Bo Pelini. His press conference, weekly press conference, we'll have it for you every week, every Tuesday, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You know, one thing I've noticed here just in the last week with being at two or three press conferences and hearing a couple press conferences, he is getting a little more comfortable in his skin right now, and that's good. Again, everybody tried to get along with Bill Callahan at the time, but with Frank Solich, and obviously by the time Tom Osborne, by the time media became really involved with weekly press conference and all this stuff, Tom Osborne had been a coach for so long, he was already in the legend status, and there wasn't any very much joking around unless Tom said something. And with Frank, you know, kind of the same thing, but he would joke a little bit. With Bill, you try to get on it, so maybe they'll tell you something once in a while. And I think finally after being hired last December, we have a Bo Pelini trying to be funny and not afraid to laugh once in a while too.
Doug, I think he has loosened up immensely from what he was, because at the first you knew that he didn't want to be there, and because everything was just so held tight to the vest, he didn't want to screw up and say something because he was not well versed at it. It was not something as a coordinator you've ever really had to deal with. I mean, he had to deal with it one time before the Alamo Bowl.
And again, we had the press conference lasted what, about 16, 18 minutes this week. And you never know. Usually they're 20, 25. About the only real nugget we learned was a couple injury updates, and that Hunter Tiefenthaler is back. He never officially said it was a one-game suspension. Last week he said he would not play in the week one, and now he says he is back. And he is doing the same thing as pretty much every other coach, praising his team for their play, and in the areas where they did not do so well, saying that they would have to work on it. Right now, though, the newness, and he is saying it different than Bill Callahan did.
I think there was an interesting point made when he said the physicality of the receivers and was asked about that. Very, very happy with the perimeter. But there's one catch that Nate Swift made. Nate Swift, Todd Peterson's big. People, if you get to see Todd Peterson, he's a man. And he's not 40, but he's just 6'4", and he is solid. Nate Swift, when you look at Nate Swift, you think, lovely, lovely, nice little fella you can take around and, you know, just not a big physical specimen. Nate Swift securing the football down the middle of the field and then ripping a defensive back with a forearm at the point of contact. I thought that was an impressive thing to see. And they talk about Ron Brown and the physicality in which he preaches every day in, day out. I thought that was a true rub off. I think last year you would have saw Nate Swift go to the ground without, you know, trying to avoid contact, you know, cushion the blow. No, he dropped his shoulder and ripped the forearm on the pass down the middle of the field. I thought that was an impressive, just one play that really stood out to me, I guess.
Our plan is to go just a few more minutes here. If you have a comment on Bo Pelini's press conference, 1-888-455-3776, 1-888-455-ESPN, if you have a comment on a Bo Pelini's press conference. But, Daddy, just going back to what we talked about before the press conference, Nebraska's football team, again, didn't surprise me really anywhere on Saturday night. Cody Glenn, yes, was a lot more involved than I thought, but again, other folks weren't as involved as maybe I would have thought, and of course that has a lot to do with what Western Michigan was trying to accomplish. Same thing on the offense.
I just thought there were people around. I just thought there were people that were a step away. I thought there were people very, very close to the action. Tim Hiller's a pretty good quarterback. You know, they've got a big physical tight end, which Bo Pelini said you will see him play on Sundays. We probably won't see a better one all year. He made great plays, 128 yards receiving, I believe. If you go back, give some credit to Western Michigan. I don't think any defense with the offenses they are, the way they are today, are going to have 58 yards rushing and 110 yards passing.
Western Michigan, I thought they would be a good football team coming in. I thought Nebraska needed to be on upset alert. I was just a little surprised at how much offense Nebraska generated through the air with Joe Gans and the way that he was able to scramble. And the offensive line did a great job of pass blocking virtually all night long. When Joe scrambled, it was usually because he wanted to scramble, not because he had to scramble.
Well, I think everybody ripping on the rushing, I think it comes back to this isn't the pipeline. This isn't you go back to the Stye line and the Chris Dishman and those guys. It isn't that line. When they put up more people up there than you've got to block, it's tough to run. Well, that line would have knocked everybody 8 yards. Well, that line may have. The lines have changed over years. When they put more people in the box and you've got up there to block, it's going to be difficult to run. That's why they opened up the game and had some success passing.
I don't think it's going to be as difficult this Saturday, but we'll find out. We'll talk to San Jose State head football coach Dick Tomey coming up on Thursday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So, week one is in the books. Yesterday on the Big 12 conference call, Coach Pelini was asked as well about do you believe in the most improvements from week one to week two, and we talked about this last week. He said, you hope there's improvement, but again, that's not such a big deal anymore, week one to week two. And he also went on and says, we don't have exhibition games. We don't have preseason games. He goes, those scrimmages can't count. You hope that all the jitters and things like that are worked out in week one.
Well, and basically went on to say, we want to improve every week of the season, and that's as football coaches and that's as football team, barring, I think, some injuries is what he was, intending to say. That's what you want to do. You continually get better and kind of peak towards the end of the season. I think that's pretty much the message, and I think the more you're together and obviously the more practice you get in, that's the case a lot of times.
Nebraska is going to run into the next 2 weeks teams that you'd hope would test them a little bit more in New Mexico State. I don't know. Everybody just seems to think they're going to be way down. Here's a team that had made a bowl game under Hal Mumme, and they think that they're going to be way, way down. And, of course, earlier today it was announced that New Mexico State kickoff will be 6 p.m. Nebraska hosting New Mexico State 6 p.m., and because of Hurricane Gustav canceling their game with Nicholls State this week, it will be the season opener for New Mexico State, and that's too bad.
Well, yeah, it stinks.
Nebraska
really does.
Need a team that, they need the teams that they're going to feel comfortable against, but they need teams that are also going to push them a little bit.
It's going to be hard. I really think the next 2 weeks, it'll be much more of a mental challenge than anything else, staying focused, because I think these are games that you're going to get to see a lot of different groupings, a lot of different people are going to get into the game and play some football.
Well, looking for everybody to heal up, and Huskers got through that game with just a couple of nicks. Ricky Thanaris, of course, got hurt, and you're trying to see Burks come back and some other kids. Huff got dinged up. So even game one against Western Michigan, some bumps and bruises and maybe a little worse in some cases for some of the Huskers. Coming up right after we wrap up here in about 30 seconds, a Big Red Report from Sean Callahan, then back to ESPN Network. Reminder that tomorrow on the show, among our guests, Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep and Sam Dunn, head football coach at Minden. We want to thank former Husker and former NFL 8-year veteran Brendan Stein for joining us on the show today, as well as UNK football coach Daryl Morris and Paul Merkowitz from Hastings College.
Hey, look forward to seeing you on tomorrow's Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio 1460 and 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!